All right, so today's lesson is building a solo. This is something I've been looking forward to for a while because people ask me a lot, like, you know, I don't feel comfortable soloing because, you know, my pentatonics, they don't sound like, they just sound like playing scales, you know. And that's a very common thing. So the prerequisite here is that you know at least a few pentatonic scales and that you can do alternate picking and that you can do some hammer-ons and pull-offs. And other, maybe even other embellishing devices like string bending or even double stops, whatever, right? But those are some assumptions that we're making in this session. So after that, you know, what do you do? Like, how can you do a solo that's more than, how can you feel comfortable doing a solo that's more than, say, 30 seconds or a minute long, you know? So, did you know that there's four basic elements in soloing? There's music theory. When you hear a great soloist, think of one of your favorite guitarists, right? The four basic elements that they have is music theory. They know what scales go with chords, or, you know, etc. They have a good ear. They can hear. They're not just randomly playing notes. They can hear an idea in their head and be able to execute it on the fretboard, right? And then the other two are the technical part and the phrasing part. So again, it's theory, ear training, technical, and phrasing. The theory stuff is obviously not the scope of today. You know, I teach a whole separate theory course, and this is not to be a plug for any of those courses. I'm just telling you. And then for the ear training, you have the commuter audio. You know. All right, and then the technical end is, like I said, about using alternate picking, which I know you have, and hammer-ons and pull-offs and string bending, which I know you have the facility to do, you know. And then the last one is phrasing, which is something we never really talk about. You know, if when you think about phrasing, you know, think about your favorite player. Just pick a great guitarist that you love and think about that person. If you were to transcribe the notes that they play, that person plays, and put them in a computer, let's say, and have the computer play it back, you know, what would be, you know, would it have the same emotional effect? No, it wouldn't.
Terrible.
It wouldn't. There's no way, because the computer doesn't have a. So the nuances, that's what phrasing is about. It's about understanding the nuances of your favorite player so that you can use those same elements to achieve the same emotional effect. All this stuff is, you know, music theory and technical stuff and ear training and phrasing, you know, it's all just sort of like scientific, but it's only scientific. It's only useful in as much as it serves the artistic vision. And you may not even think you have an artistic vision, but everybody does. You have a certain way of hearing music that no one else does. And when you express that, people are like, you know, you take people along for a ride for a little while. The better you get at expressing your artistic vision, the easier it is for the listener to see that vision, if you will. All right, so I'll stop waxing over here. But there's four things we're going to do today. I'm going to review it quick, and then we'll go dive into each one. One, have a dialogue with yourself. This is about phrasing. We're talking about question and answer, phrasing lengths, and etc. Number two, sculpting the overall architecture of your solo. We're going to talk a lot about that. And then number three kind of goes with number two, which is have an array of tools for building excitement at the highest point of your solo, let's say. And then number four, have a definite ending. Some of these are obvious, but their implications are strong. So it doesn't mean even if a topic's obvious, it doesn't mean we use it all the time. I'm constantly learning and relearning stuff that's obvious just by having to teach it all the time. So the first one, having a dialogue with yourself. Can we do like a blues just to have an easy reference point, like maybe in the A blues, everyone can relate to that, you know? First, let's just jam on the blues for a minute. Yeah, so the form of the blues, it's 1-4-5, which is A, D, and E, and then do you know structure of what comes when, like for 12 bars?
Yeah.
All right, so like, and then let's do like 1, 2, 3, 4. You just play A or A7. That's A minor. Then here comes D. Or you can do D7. E7. You could do an E minor. Yeah, good. All right, one more time through on that, and you who are listening, play along with us. 1, 2, 3, 4. The turnaround is E, D, A, E. So from the E7, 2, 3, 4, E, and D, and A, and E. Alright, so with regards to doing some phrasing, the old blues books, if you go and research them, they talk about question and answer riffs. So a riff that, I mean, in simplest terms, a riff that kind of ends on an up, and then another riff that is similar to that and then kind of goes down at the end. That was kind of like a question and answer and then a longer answer, if you will. Alright, I'm going to switch to electric. So I'm going to have you comp for a minute, the 12 bars, and I'm going to do a little question and answer phrasing. Do A7. Do an A minor. Alright, so 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Good. So if you listen back to what I did, it was pure and simple question and answer, except for the very last phrase, which was like more of a turnaround phrase. All right? You heard it, right? So just try it. I'm going to comp for you right now. You might not know what to do, but just make any old phrase that ends on an up. Give it a little space. Do a similar phrase and end on it and going down. That's all.
That's all.
Usually like in two-bar phrases, usually a phrase is 2 bars in length, if that helps you. Like 1, 2, 3, 4... That, but each of those was 2 bars.
So question and answer would be 2. Or just a question.
Just a question is 2 bars. So the whole question and answer is like 4 bars. Gotcha. So if you do 3 of those in a 12 bars, you're doing it right. Right? 1, 2, 3... That's it. That's awesome. That's really good. That's very good. In fact, you could even simplify more. Remember, the audience is of varying musical, varying levels of musical sophistication. And if you can get everyone from, you know, PhD in musicology, who's, I have some friends who have that, and to the 3-year-old, you know, with you, then you're doing great. So you could even simplify. It makes your job a little easier. Like, repeat most of the same phrase for the answer bit, but then just change the ending. So you already did great. Okay. But let's just scale it back for one minute. Because this is also when it tunes in a funny key, or when you're for some reason unsure of yourself, or there's just 10,000 people out there and you're nervous or whatever, these are the simpler the better. A lot of times people ask me, I just don't know how to get into a solo. Like, once I'm in, you know, I'm in, I can jam out. But the first few notes, like, maybe should I memorize, should I write out? And you could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is an easy, simple way that no matter what the tune or what the tempo, maybe it's a super fast tempo, maybe it's a super slow tempo, maybe it's a tune that has weird chord changes, I don't know. And so just try it, do it even simpler. Repeat most of the phrase, but vary the ending. 1, 2, 3. So wait, let me just... And then, hey, right? And it's like, it's simple, but it's freaking, you know, nice to listen to, right? It's engaging. It's a way to have people on board with you. This is another idea for why we do this. If the room is noisy and no one's listening, suppose you're following a soloist who is very busy and all over the place, and you want to scale it back a little, you know. Anyway, there's all kinds of reasons. 1, 2, 3. I love it. Don't worry. Ah. Let me take one, give you a little bit of ideas. So you count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Alright, here's the top. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thing in one little position, you know. I don't do that enough. I tend to overplay, and so do a lot of people. And that's why the people who play it simple make the big bucks. Here we go. 1, you try it. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Make it obvious. Pretend I'm 3 years old. Give me an obvious question and an obvious answer. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Doesn't even sound right.
Dun, 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 dun. No matter how simple it is, that would have worked. That would have been your question, and then I just switched two notes, and there you go. Right? See how easy it is? 1, 2, 3, 4. What it is let your phrases be two bars in length, because that's messing you up too. So it would be like, like, here we go. So like start, like you would start, and that's it. And then do another one, answer. And then here's your question, and here's your answer. All right. And here's your question. Thank you. cool. Now there's no, if anything else, there's no issue about, gee, I'm not sure I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, how am I, you know, you could carry on like that for,
until the audience falls asleep, yeah.
But it's not, and I'm not falling asleep. You're engaging me. You're keeping me, I'm engaged over here, right? Even though I'm a musician, you know, with an ear for, I don't know how to, like, you know, I like to hear more exotic things, but I love simplicity too. And there's no way that anyone could deny the simple charm of engaging lines like that. There's nothing about it that's going to put us to sleep. If anything, you could, instead of trying to make your phrasing more complicated, just start using some more embellishments to your lines. Let me hear some hammer-ons and pull-offs in the lines, you know? So we're integrating phrasing with hammer-ons and pull-offs or string bending. I realize you're on acoustic today. Let me demonstrate a little bit. So I'm still going to do the question and answer, but I'm going to use some embellishments to, okay. Maybe just hammer-ons and pull-offs. You give me a count. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. One thing I wanted to point out on that is qualifying something I said earlier. Some of my, quote, answers in the phrase I just did were going up, but they were, like, landing on the root or whatever, so it sounded more conclusive. So yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that the question is up and the answer is down in direction. It just means the question ends unresolved and the answer sort of resolves it in whatever fashion necessary.
Yeah, I always feel like I should be landing on a different note at the end.
You know.
Like, it doesn't quite sound resolved.
I mean, you could always go for the roots. That's an easy way to, you know, using the cage system, you should know where the roots are in every position. Let's go right to the embellishments. I know you can do hammer on the pull effect. Yeah. I mean, when you're dealing, we just happen to be in a triplet based blues. Which, you know, when I see triplet based, it means like the eighth notes are, there's an underlying triplet, like when you play 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, it's really 1 triplet, 2 triplet, 3 triplet, 4, right? So you could, you know, accent some triplets. Just another word on that, like how would I access some of those triplets? You start at the fifth fret, sixth string. You'll play pick, hammer, pick. Like just play 4 notes. Yep, and the second of those is hammered. And then go backwards. Good, and the second of those is pulled off. So like 3. That's an exercise you could do to strengthen that. And then. And remember, we talked about in the solo, it's the 4 main elements for soloing: theory, ear training, technical, and phrasing. Well, we're doing some technical stuff today, too, just within it, you know. So, give me an exercise like that, like on 2 strings, and then move it up. So, where the second note is either hammered or pulled off, depending on the direction. Go ahead, try it. Do it in time, like 3, 4. Good, and when you're comfortable with that, let's go to the next set of strings. Good, and then keep going up. Got it. That's just an exercise I randomly made up. Could be 3 notes where the where the fourth note of the sequence is not a different note, but the second note in the sequence. You know. Yeah, or yeah, what if it was going up? So I'm on the second string, hammering, and then first string, and then back. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Actually, that's a great idea. I should write that up. It'd be like... wait, so... Right? So let me just hear... Let's go right into it. Let me hear the... and by the way, for technical, the hammer-ons and pull-off stuff, there's plenty of exercises that I have separately that you can ask me about. But now, just give me some question and answer stuff on the A blues with the hammer-ons and pull-offs embellishments.
Sure.
You're looking dubious. Like, one, two, three. Remember, it's still two bar phrase, so let me just demonstrate. Okay. You know, you don't have to do it all the time, just here and there. You know, so it's not just all like... You know, that's maybe what you were referring to with the audience falling asleep. It's just not, it's a little one-dimensional because you're only picking. Right? One, two, three, four. All right, let's give you that again. One, two, three, go. That was your question. There you go, another one. Wait, let me give you a little more guidance. There's no real rules, but the when do you use the hammer-ons and pull-offs is whenever the rhythm is faster than the pick can comfortably go. So eighth notes can be easily done with the pick. One and two and three and four, right? But when it's the faster rhythm like triplets, you know, that's why we got into that a minute ago. And you don't have to do a lot of them, but just spice it up occasionally. Eighth notes is your normal... basic unit, in my opinion. You know, eighth notes is a basic unit of time for soloing. But spice it up with the occasional triplet, because we're in a shuffle blues. If this was a funk rock tune or something, then it would be maybe 16th notes instead of triplets. But that's enough. The principle is the same. You'd use hammer-ons and pull-offs whenever it goes faster than the pick. So let me just demonstrate one more time. A question, still two-par phrases. Well, nothing really changes, but you're just adding some spice with hammer-ons and pull-offs. Two, three, four. Except for the very last phrase where I trailed off to turn it around to the next chorus. It was pretty much strictly question and answer. You heard it. Mm-hmm. Right? Here we go. One, two, one, two, three. There you go. Question. And now answer it. So still keep the phrases simple. Question.
Struggling with the question answer part.
All right, two, three, yeah, question.
Explain to me the whole question answer.
Just do a very simple phrase that ends unresolved. You were doing it before, but now I introduced the hammer-ons and pull-offs and So it's getting a bit much for you to think about
two things at once.
Yeah. A simple do it without any hammer-ons and pull-offs, just to refresh yourself. Just a simple question phrase over two bars. Something that ends unresolved, and it's simple enough that you could repeat most of it again in the next two bars. 2, 3, 4. Yep. Right, and so that's it. That would go even simpler than that. 1, 2, try again. Right, good. Now just add a little hammer-ons and pull-offs within something like that. 2, 3, 4. Good, keep going. Triplet, so beyond it. Meaning
like my fingers go this.
All right, we can slow it down a little bit. You want to slow down the tempo? Like 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go. Good, yeah, next. And resolve it. Good, next question. Frustrating?
Frustrating.
Well, it's not like, you know, I expect you to sound like B.B. King in 20 minutes, but at the very least, if you agree with this, there's no longer a thing about, well, what should I play, and I feel like I'm just carrying on. Now, at least you're exploring, having a conversation.
Sure. Yeah.
Keep on doing it. That's all. You know, we did about a half an hour on this, and you'll do many more hours of, and now you're having, hopefully, instead of like, you know, I don't know what to play. I don't sound good. Blah blah blah. It's just exploring. You're truly playing now,
right?
Even though it's frustrating. So you're on to a great start, and that's all we're gonna do for right now on that. I think you've got the idea. You can listen back to some examples. Yeah, that's good. All right. So have fun with that.